It's the WIP Afternoon Show, the Ike, Spike, and Fritz. Today's show is sponsored by Guided Door and Window. Buy a window or door. Get the second and a half off with 18 months interest-free financing. Call Guided Door and Window today at 877-GO-GUIDA or visit goguida.com. Every Wednesday at 3 o'clock, we are joined by the legendary, handsome, talented Larry Anderson. What's up, man? L.A.?
Am I supposed to be on now?
Yeah!
Well, after all that, I was like, wait a minute, they got the wrong guy.
Yeah, Baldy's on a four. I mixed it up, yeah. So, L.A., another outstanding start from Zach Wheeler last night. Where, in terms of all the Phillies pitchers you've seen, and I know I'm asking this on the spot, but where is Zach Wheeler sort of in that hierarchy of the best pitchers who have ever pitched for the Phillies?
He's right there near the top. I mean, I got to believe with what he's doing. It's like every time we need a game, we need a big game, he's there. Like, it just, he doesn't fail. It doesn't mean he hasn't had a couple of, toss away games, but it not for the big ones, not for the ones that I feel like we really need to win. You have to have a win in the series. He's the one guy that makes you feel like you're going to get that one win. And he's been doing it all year. He's just been phenomenal. I know Chris Sale's been outstanding too, but I don't know. For this guy, to me, he already should have one Cy Young, and
yeah,
I think this year should be a second. I mean, obviously, if it doesn't go to him, he's going to be number two. I can't imagine anybody else that's close to Sale or Wheeler in that department. But talk about a horse. And he just, when you think about all the great pitchers the Phillies have had, he's the one guy in the big game that has stepped up when we've needed it the most. And that says a lot.
It's really interesting. He's been so dependable, especially considering that when he was with the Mets, he was obviously talented, but, you know, from an injury perspective or a consistency perspective, he never really hit that peak like he's had for the entire five seasons he's been here.
No. And, if you look at it, you go back to when we got him, I would venture to say 95 to 100% of the fans would have said, well, if you could have DeGrom or Wheeler, who would you take? I really believe everybody would have said DeGrom.
Oh, yeah. Yes.
And yep.
Thank goodness we got Wheeler. I mean, with the healthy DeGrom, he wouldn't do anything more than Wheeler's doing right now. I really don't believe that. I mean, he's got great stuff, and not to take anything away from him, but DeGrom's, I mean, has been absolutely a person that you just totally cannot depend on. And it's not his fault. He just had injuries, and it's, you know, I mean, Lefty used to say it all the time. You only have so many bullets, and nobody knows how many bullets there are in the chamber. It's a crapshoot. And we got the right guy, I think, no question about it. I just can't say enough about it.
The one thing that impresses me, L.A., is that it seems like he's hit his stride and right into the prime of his athletic abilities. Since he signed here, he may have shown flashes when he was in New York, but he had injury issues at times or what have you. It seems like since he's put on the Phillies pinstripes, he's been at his best. What is it about a pitcher as they get a little older that he's gotten better? Like, what do you think that is that it has allowed him to be better later in his career?
I think just absolutely trusting in himself and what he's capable of doing. I really early on, you know, you're still trying to, maybe not comparing yourself to others, but you are compared to others. And like I said, with DeGrom there, everybody talked about DeGrom. Maybe had some very good pitchers in New York, but he was, I thought, a little bit inconsistent. I didn't think he pitched to his ability with the Mets.
Mm-hmm.
But I think obviously with experience, you get better. You should, if you're always trying to improve. I mean, what was it last year? He came up with the splitter. Let me start throwing a splitter. He started throwing that. It really helped him. As you get older, I think you have more of a tendency or ability to experiment with other things because you know what you have in your back pocket. you know. And that, and to me, like what he's got in his back pocket is he's got that fastball that he can. And I'm telling you, I watching him when he kind of lowers his wrist a little bit, and that's when he's throwing that high fastball. He's got it to where he can almost pinpoint it at the top of the zone, which is not easy to do. But by pinpointing it, dropping his wrist, it's almost like he's throwing a riser. But yet he's not a three-quarter pitcher. He's a little higher than that. But he can lower that wrist and run that riding fastball up in his zone. He did it to Adames a couple times last night. The one was a big strikeout he needed, and he reached back, did that through the high strike, and got the swing and the miss. I think he's just more than anything trusting in his own self. I think he really believes in himself, and he really trusts himself. And I think as pitchers get older, that becomes easier to do. And I think he's at the point, and I agree with you, he's at his pinnacle right now. And he knows what he's capable of doing, and he's very confident. I mean, when you talk about any great athlete, what they've accomplished, things they've accomplished, one of the first things that you can point to is their confidence. They believe in themselves. I think where Wheels is at right now, and it's, man, is it fun to watch him.
Talking to Larry Anderson, so on the not going so great side, Aaron Nola has struggled for a few starts now. Is there anything in particular you see that's going on with him?
I go back to it. He doesn't have that thing right now in his back pocket. Crutch and I talked about this a couple weeks ago. And he said at one point he was talking to Schilling, and he says, why is it that, like, you can go out there and do what you do, you know, you struggle a little bit. And Schill was like, I always have that down and away fastball in my back pocket. I know I can make that pitch. I can throw that pitch every time. I always have that. And he said, that's why I don't get rattled. I don't get concerned because I have that. One of the big things for me is Nola's inability to pitch at the knees. And I don't think it's from a lack of trying. I just his mechanics or whatever. It's like he can't get his hand on top of the ball to throw downhill. And he'll throw his two seamer or something like that, and he'll have movement on it on the corners, but it's flat. If he's on top of it, he'll get a little sink to it too, which I think would help him tremendously. But he can't reach back and throw that down and away fastball to a right hander. His go-to thing, and which I think hurts him a little bit, is makes him predictable, is he goes to the curveball oftentimes when he needs a big pitch. And I don't think it's a secret that hitters know that and teams know that. And when you become predictable, it's a lot easier to hit when you have a better idea of what a guy might do. But again, I beat a dead horse, but if you look at guys that get fastballs down and away, right-handed hitters, how often they take them and how often they complain about them, that they're not strikes, they're not strikes, they're not strikes. They are strikes, but they won't even, most of the time they won't even swing at it. But it doesn't do anybody any good if you can't execute. And I think that's Aaron's problem right now, is he's not been executing his pitches. One other thing that might be creeping in for him, because he's talked about it, it's like it's that one big inning he gives up.
Yeah.
Like once he gets somebody on or a couple guys on, he can't stop the bleeding. And I think it's easy in your mind, and for having been there, it's easy in your head to go, oh, here we go again, instead of, I'm going to shut this down right now. And it's when things aren't going good for you as a player, I think you can relate to, like, something happens that's kind of continued to happen. You go, oh man, not again.
Mm-hmm.
And you get this kind of a negative feeling about you, and then you're done. And I don't know if that's happening to him. I would hope not, but I'd be hard pressed to believe that it's not when he admits it. Like, it's that one big inning that he gives up that he gets hurt. And it's when, if you have that mind, not the, I don't say the mindset, but when you have it in your mind that here we go again, and it's going to be a struggle to get out of it. And I think that might be part of his problem right now, a lack of confidence in getting out of situations he needs to.
Yeah.
LA, we don't want to count our chickens before they're hatched. However, is there a team out of this grouping that would, scare is the wrong word, cause the most concern for the Phillies to play in the NLDS? The Brewers, the Mets, the Braves, the Padres. Who would you want to face the least?
Wow. whoever has the best pitching, because I'm serious, the Diamondbacks worry me, because they've got some left-handed hitters, mm-hmm. they got right-handers, they got left-handed hitters that can neutralize that, and they got crazy speed. I think a little bit like Milwaukee is a little bit similar. But the Dodgers, they offensively scare me, but their pitching, they're struggling with their pitching. And I think that's an advantage for the Phils.
I remember you saying this last year. We asked you the same question last year, and you said the Diamondbacks, and you said the pitching. And at that time, I'm like, man, the Diamondbacks, they ain't just scraping to even get to the playoffs. Why would we be worried about them? And sure enough, that was the team that knocked us out, man. So you had it pegged correctly last year, and that Diamondbacks team, man, they've almost scored almost 100 runs more than anybody else in the league. It feels like they score double digit runs seemingly every other night. Yeah. That is a scary team.
It is, and if we're not, I mean, I know we scored runs last night, but it's, I mean, how many times of late have we gone 3, 4, 5 innings before we have a hit?
Yep.
And I'm like, man, and you get in the playoffs. Most of these teams, they have decent pitching, but that's one of the reasons they're there. But also, they have very good bullpens. And you get behind early, and you don't do anything. You don't put anything on the board early. And then you got to go against some of these really good relievers throwing 98 to 100 plus. I mean, you're asking for trouble. I don't think the Diamondbacks' pitching is as good right now as it was last year.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, they're still, it's a lot of the same guys. Merrill Kelly, who's not been as sharp, but he certainly seems to have our number and fought the rookie last year. Maybe not as good, but against us, pretty good. And stuff like that. I think we haven't had trouble with Gallen as much. But they can put runs on the board, like you said, like instantly. They can bang, there's three runs right there. And it's, Corbin Carroll's down a little bit. His home run production is up, but his average is down, which might help other teams. But keeping him off base is because he can run so well. But mm-hmm. I don't know. Something about the Diamondbacks just is a concern for me.
And they came in here and beat us in game 6 and 7.
Revenge.
So it's not like they would be afraid of playing us. That's the other thing. We don't even have the psychological advantage over them.
Yeah, and the series, the 4-game series we had there, it didn't go real well for us, and it was a little bit of pummeling at times in that series.
Yeah,
so I think they're a competent team going against us, whereas I don't know if the other teams are as competent going against us right now.
Yep.
All right, LA. Well, we are close to locking up. When we were all talking before the season, we all said winning the division is important, and we are on the precipice of that actually happening. So, obviously the goal is to win a World Series, but it's been a nice little regular season here so far.
Yeah, and with the other thing with the tiebreaker that we have, it turns the Dodgers 2-game game lead into a 3-game lead, and the Brewers 4-game lead into a 5-game lead. So. Yeah. That's something to think about going ahead here in the next 10 games or so.
Well, your boy Jack over there is a coward, wants the 2 seed rather than the 1 seed because he wants a different matchup in the NLDS.
Yeah.
Well, he doesn't want the Diamondbacks. Yes. I know that.
Yeah. Well, I want Mets or Brewers, not Diamondbacks or Padres. That's the case for the 2 seed.
All right.
He's a coward. He's a coward.
Don't be scared.
Yeah.
He's chesty. From Friday night when they lost against the Mets, everyone's like, they suck. They're going to blow it. Now they win a couple games in a row, and everyone's like, yeah, give me whoever.
Yeah.
I'll take anyone at CBP.
L.A., difference with Jack is he is thinking those things. He's just not saying them out loud.
He won't say them, yeah.
But what more would you expect in this town? It's Easter famine, boy.
Yes, sir. All right, L.A.
All right, brother.
I appreciate you, man.
Good. Take care.
There he is, the handsome, legendary, talented Larry Anderson. Yeah.
I want no parts of the Diamondbacks. None.
Honestly, every National League team I could find a reason to be scared.
Yeah, they're all scary.
Yeah. I could even
got the best record in baseball.
I know.
We're like every team we're scared of.
Every team can make the playoffs. Yeah. Every team can make the World Series.
Yeah. Every team. Joe in Springfield, you're on WIP. What's up, Joe?
Hey guys, how you doing? Great show.
Thank you, Joe.
What up, Joe?
Yeah, hey man, listen, the sky's falling, you know what I'm saying? Doom and gloom. We lose one game. I know it didn't look good, but I still got faith in my birds, man. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
The only thing that bothers me, though, is the whole Nick Sirianni thing. I agree that he is catching way too much flack for what's going on. I believe it's more of an organizational thought process. I believe that's why Doug Peterson left, because I believe Howie and Jeffrey Lurie want to be involved, obviously. Think that they try to like even when they were one instead of like when they we were begging for them to run the ball during it was a year after the Super Bowl and they
run the damn ball, man.
yeah
exactly. You have to expect the general manager and the owner wanting to be involved. I have no problem with that. I think the problem that I have is you can't allow your I really do believe that the fear of what happened with Chip Kelly has led them to head coaches who are less established and a little more happy to be here.
Yep.
And exactly. I understand why you would feel that way, but it wasn't Chip Kelly's presence that led to the problem with Chip Kelly. It was Chip Kelly's presence and then allowing him to run the entire organization. And it's up to Howie and Jeffrey if you give somebody that extent of power. You know, as far as I know, Jim Harbaugh isn't running the entire organization in Baltimore. But I think
wait till he wins for a season or two there.
Well, maybe, but I would take it. You know, in that case, I guess you can't be afraid of having a successful coach because you're worried that the coach will succeed almost. Because even if you hire Sirianni and Sirianni wins a Super Bowl, you're not going to have the same Sirianni. He's not going to sit around and do whatever you tell him to do if he ends up being successful.
But at least they get a Super Bowl in return.
Sure. Yes. Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, but you get a Super Bowl in return with one of those other guys too. But I guess there's less hassle up front.
I agree. I only thing I'll say is I think a lot of teams around the league have adopted this philosophy. Is that you got these guys that own the team, they put in these analytics guys in their front office, and they want to sort of run the team from a front office management standpoint, and the head coach is really seen as another employee. Whereas when I played, coaches like Andy, Bill Belichick, a few others, Bill Cowher at the time, Pete Carroll, like Mike Holmgren, these guys ran the entire organization, and the owner was just told to stay out of the way. Like Bill Parcells started that. Owners have gotten away from wanting those type of coaches.
I do think that we are at the extreme level of all of that, and it happened. There's a substantial difference to what we think Nick Sirianni's role within the organization is today compared to 2 years ago. Mm-hmm. And for a guy who went to a Super Bowl and then went to the playoffs and won 24 games in 2 years, it seems like it's gone down. And that is to me, the weirdest part is that he is consistently answering for things which we're all sure that he is not responsible for. Mm-hmm. So I think he is in a no-win situation where somebody like Mayo in New England or I don't get the sense that they are in no-win situations.
But they are.
You think?
Yeah.
I don't know.
They're not. What control do they have?
Not control, but I can tell you when the Patriots won the first week, there was a lot of positive, look what Mayo's doing.
Sure.
But if the Eagles win these 2 weeks, I don't think that there's going to be any conversation
about
Sirianni.
Oh, I agree from that standpoint, sure.
Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I understand from that standpoint, but also the Patriots are overachieving.
Yes.
They're overachieving, low expectations. I just think here in Philadelphia, we're so inundated with everything, and we scrutinize everything. It's just what we do here.
Sure.
It's a little different coaching here. Some coaches can get away with just being that guy for their team, and the media, the fan base doesn't overreact to everything. Here, we're different.
Yes.
And I'm not saying it's bad or it's good. It's just how we are. It's who we are.
We are different. Hey, Joe, what is a movie, a TV show, an album, something really popular that you've never seen or heard?
Real quick, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I just think he's in a no-win situation, like you said, Spike, and I feel sorry for him because I think he deserves a lot more credit than what he's getting. And, I wonder what the national view of him is. Maybe you can comment after I hang up, but I wonder if they feel the same way we do about him being, like, not a puppet, but somebody who's, just running the whole thing, not kind of involved in day-to-day or play calling and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, the thing I have not seen is I never seen an episode of Yellowstone.
It's a
great show.
So I've never seen it either. Good one,
I've
Joe.
Never seen Yellowstone either.
I've never seen it. And by the way,
I do know about the show.
Well, the Costner thing, of course, turned into a big deal.
Yeah.
But it's one of those shows where it's like the first three or four seasons are unbelievable.
It's a Western show, right?
Yeah, and then it's unwatchable.
Yeah.
Really?
Like, because it's just... Everyone gets it by that point. You know, like, I just think it lost a lot of steam, but the first three seasons were great. There's a lot of shows like that, though.
I don't want to watch a Western show.
I know.
It's too
fake.
It's like Sopranos. Like, what are we talking about here?
Well, hold on.
And by the way,
Sopranos are real.
We're doing this because it is James Gandolfini's birthday, and I've never seen The Sopranos. So,
yes.
Next question today is something that you've never seen or heard that is very popular.
Yeah, talking about an actor or actress gone too soon.
Yes, absolutely.
I mean, man. I feel like he still had a little more left in him to give us.
So he great, and I know you guys make fun of me for True Romance, but mm-hmm. a great.
No, you told me that. Yeah, you said that.
Gandolfini in True Romance was awesome. I mean, he's only in one scene, but it is, I would say,
oh,
the
no,
most.
He's only in one scene.
How can he be great in one scene?
It is the scene in the movie. It is him. It's Dennis Hopper.
That's a good
and
combo.
It is no, I'm sorry. It's him and Patricia Arquette. So he's in one with Patricia Arquette, which is famous, and then he's in the scene with Dennis Hopper and Christopher Walken. So two scenes.
Okay.
Incredible scenes. Gandolfini was what? Probably 58, 59, 60 years old. Yeah, when he passed away, something like that.
Yeah.
Way too soon. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Coming up next, so speaking of coaches that would want a lot of power. We've heard the name Bill Belichick bannered around with the Eagles. And he did talk a little bit about the Eagles organization and what he thinks of the organization.
Goat was in the building
on
Monday
a podcast.
Night.
He was.
In the building
with
Monday
Matt
night.
Patricia, which I don't know how that was allowed to happen.
I don't know how. Yeah, Matt. He must have got in with Bill Belichick. There's no way they let Matt Patricia in by himself. Yes.
You think it was just Belichick plus one?
Yeah, it had to be a plus one. Yes. No doubt.
Belichick was talking about the Eagles, and we will play that for you next.
Why Eagles? Why?
It is interesting. Today's show is sponsored by Guided Door and Window. Buy a window or door to get the second half off with 18 months interest-free financing. Call Guided Door and Window today at 877-GO-GUIDA or visit goguida.com. This is the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
It's the WIP Afternoon Show. Ike, Spike, and Fritz. Today's show is sponsored by Guided Door and Window. Buy a window or door. Get the second at half off with 18 months interest-free financing. Call Guided Door and Window today at 877-GO-GUIDA. Visit goguida.com. Bill Belichick was talking about the Eagles organization. We will play that for you in a moment. Right now, Chris Middletown, you're on WIP. What's up, Chris?
Good
Good afternoon, man.
What's up, Chris?
Now, Chris, at the end of this call, we do have an issue to discuss with you. It seems like there is some tension between you and another person who is in the Eagles Insider of the Year power rankings. And I want to go over that with you before we release the rankings at 4:30. But you can go to your topic first.
Yeah, we could talk about Worm Brain later.
No.
Ike.
Yes.
I want to help you out here.
Okay. When
we see a nephew? I mean, I'm getting done with N'Kobe and
man. last week I thought we had LT and Dick Butkus out there as our linebackers. We're already tired of them.
Bond was the lowest graded defensive player according to PFF.
Oh, really?
God. Yeah.
On the team or the league?
On the team. Okay. His PFF score is 29.
Okay.
Wow.
It was in the red area, which I assume is bad.
It's bad, yeah.
So apparently the sod father's field hindered a lot of players, but it made some others look better than what they are.
I guess so, yeah.
I'm ready to see Junior, and I
got it. Here's what I'm saying, Chris. I got my eye on the bye week. That's all I'm saying. I got my eye on the bye week coming out of the bye week.
Is that an official report?
Is not an official report.
Breaking news.
That is not an official report, no.
Guys, before we get to Worm Brain.
Although if it does happen, I do want credit. That's
yeah,
all I'm
yeah,
saying.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You're just like Kellen Moore. You're the Kellen Moore of Eagles Insider of the Year. The good scoops, you want credit. The bad scoops, you don't.
That's a good point.
Go ahead, Chris.
Well, I was going to say, I got to talk a little bit about my beloved Bills. It's great to see our boy Bryce with the car back. And Wheeler, to me, guys, Wheeler's the most dominant. Spike, you and I are the same age, and for those listening, I'm 47. Wheeler is the most dominant pitcher I've seen in my lifetime as a Philly since Kurt Schilling. So
I think Halliday for me.
Well, yeah, it's certainly Roy for sure.
Yeah. I think Halliday.
Say nothing like Roy.
No, he's in that grouping. So my lifetime would be Carlton, would be Schilling, would be Halliday, Lee,
Hamels.
Yeah, but Hamels is not in that group. Come on,
man.
And Zach Wheeler. I can't think of anybody else in my lifetime in that grouping of pitchers. But
first half Rangers Suarez.
Top 11 in Philly.
Before the family came in, he got tired.
Yes.
Yeah.
So, all right. So Chris was on last year's Eagles Insider of the Year power rankings. He was number four. Last week's, yeah. Eagles Insider of the Year power rankings. He had Devin White was unhappy with his being told he wasn't going to start. And then...
Which is fairly obvious to me, Chris, but I'm just saying.
Look, I forgot that Ike over here had a problem with the rankings, too. And then...
Mm-hmm. I remember.
And then we mentioned that you texted Jack early on Sunday, or whenever they ruled... The day they ruled A.J. Brown out, you texted Jack early that day and said A.J. Brown is not going to play on Monday night. And because you do not have a public profile, really, we gave you credit for that because you texted it to Jack.
Well, me and Spike did.
Also Fugazi.
Yeah. So I can't believe that it's you, too. So, Chris, do you want to give a statement? Obviously, Ike is voicing his displeasure with you getting credit for this. And Worm Brain, and NovaCare Worm Elliot, who I gave credit for getting out of the NovaCare Worm, is very disappointed with you getting credit for these things. Do you have official comment about this before this week's rankings come out?
I do, and I already texted Jack about this as I listened to that. And again, I'm a bit disappointed. But so there was two parts to that when I called you in about the Devin White thing. And the crucial part was never brought back up. But I had said it was Nick Sirianni who called him into his office to inform him he wasn't starting. Mm. There was a reporter that asked Devin White about it, and I don't remember who it was, but they had asked him. They said, "Who told you?" But then immediately interrupted themselves and said, "Was it Vic?" And all he said was no, and they never followed up. So if you want to clarify how much I'm in the insider trader, ask, was it Nick Sirianni who called him in his office and said it? And then you guys could get that verified and give me my credibility. So it wasn't just the unhappy part. And as far as the injury goes, that was multiple hours before, and I had told him he wasn't playing, but I have to dance around this, Ike, because you get this from an aspect. When I'm talking about somebody's health, I don't want to hang myself out to dry on something like that.
Sure.
So all I told him is, Yeah, don't bet on him playing, and you could see the text time. And I did it via text because, guys, I want there to be documentation of this. I'm not backtracking, okay?
No,
and Spike, I am very confident in my sources, and I am not worried one bit that any of this will be found otherwise. And yes, Ike, sources, Ike.
Sources.
Yeah, Chris, do you have any reports this week?
You know, I was going to.
Oh.
You know what I thought? The other people around there in this report, in this room, in this reporting room, need to get off their keisters and do a little bit of work. So you throwing it out there.
I don't disagree. I don't disagree, Chris.
Worm brain, get working.
Worm brain.
And how about the king? How about the king get working?
Yeah, king get working too. Yeah.
Can someone tell us what happened with Jalen Carter? Can any of these fake insiders get us some info?
Ooh, boy.
But we'll have to let them do some work.
No balls.
I guess we're going to have to let some others do some work. Guys, you're all getting a little heavy, but that's okay.
So, Chris,
I do have an answer for you.
Yeah. So next question today is something really popular you haven't seen or heard based on me not seeing The Sopranos, James Gandolfini's birthday. What is yours?
So I missed the beginning of the show, and I'd not seen The Sopranos either. So that was yours.
Okay.
Have a good one, man.
All right, see ya.
All right.
So he did not hear the reason, and that's why Jack always reminds me to tell people the reason of why we're...
He could remind them when he answers the phone.
Well, that's extra work for me. Now, and you could win Phil's tickets.
And you can win Phil's
tickets.
Extra
work for him.
Extra work for him. After his performance last Friday on this show...
Hold on. Now we're going back to last Friday?
Yeah. It was three shows ago.
Yeah, that wasn't that long ago.
Okay, well, three Eagles games ago, they lost 32-9 to the Buccaneers.
Okay.
Not allowed to bring that up.
That's right. That's right.
So, Bill Belichick. There were rumors this offseason about potential interest. Then there were some rumors, I don't know, a couple months ago that the Eagles would be interested, or Jeff Lurie was interested at one point. So, I'm sorry, what is this podcast he's on with Jim Gray?
It's on the Let's Go podcast.
Okay, Let's Go.
With Tom Brady. Jim Gray.
Okay.
Is Tom Brady on the podcast?
Yeah. He's the one grilling Belichick in the interview.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Awesome.
So, I'm sorry I didn't know the name of it.
For everybody who thinks Tom Brady and Bill Belichick hate each other and couldn't wait to get away from each other and all these other things.
I know. I look forward to Jalen and Nick's podcast.
Yeah. I'm just saying, I heard a lot of Brady hates Belichick.
Maybe.
They're doing podcasts together. He was at Tom's Roast.
Well, Brady's single now. Maybe Belichick's 24-year-old girlfriend has a friend.
Yeah,
they're on the prowl.
They're bonding.
Yes.
Hardest wood I had ever touched.
So here's what Belichick said.
Belichick's Brady wingman.
Yep.
Yes.
Yep.
Outside of, let's say, Kansas City, because everyone's going to think them, is there any organization that you feel that is just a bit above everybody else? You know, there's kind of a norm in the NFL, and then there's other teams that are... You see, hey, consistently process-wise, trying to do things the right way. Is there any teams that you look at and you think, okay, like they got it going?
Well, I think there's a lot of teams that are managed really well. Certainly, Dallas has accumulated a lot of really good players, and they've been able to balance that with some guys like Aubrey and Turpin and guys like that really are great players, but didn't cost too much in terms of draft capital or contracts. Look at a team like Philadelphia also in that division. They've also put together a pretty good roster. They continue to, make great moves like signing Bryce Huff and trading away Reddick and, giving that problem to somebody else and things like that. So,
yeah.
Well, it's curious timing on that part.
Getting hit on everything.
Yes.
Yeah.
But
we'll take that one back, Coach.
But there it is again. The Belichick, complimentary of the organization.
And that isn't nothing. That isn't a throwaway line. As a matter of fact, I wouldn't be surprised if he didn't know the question was coming.
And thought about what answers.
Brady letting him know what he's going to ask him, at least give him a chance. You know what I'm saying? So I'm not saying that actually happened. I'm just saying I wouldn't be surprised if that happened with Bill Belichick. Bill Belichick, this offseason, a couple of times has made references to either the city of Philadelphia or he's complimented the Eagles.
Fly, Eagles, fly.
Yeah, he's done this a couple times this offseason. He did it in the Tom Brady roast. I think he was talking to Kevin Hart saying, yeah, I wouldn't get that type of response or something to in Philadelphia. Yeah. Like, he's done this several times this offseason.
He's gunning for that job.
Yeah, at least would not surprise me.
At least he's creating a market for himself.
Yeah. And he said Dallas, so...
So,
well, how about the battle between these two organizations trying to get him?
So last night during the Brandon Graham show, which Howard Eskin also a part of,
yeah,
he did the whole Bella cheat, blah blah blah, deflating balls. And I said to him, I said, let's say Nick, because Brandon Graham's sitting right next to me. I don't want to say Nick Sirianni gets fired.
Yeah.
So I said, let's say Nick Sirianni says, I don't want to do this anymore, goes to start a ranch somewhere, and they need a head coach, and they hire Bill Belichick. Because he had just gotten done saying he doesn't respect him.
I know, yep.
I said, would you have that same energy in the first press conference? Would you ask him about all the times he's cheated? Mm-hmm. And would you call him Belichick? And he said yes.
No. No way.
Do you think he would do a complete turn if the Eagles hired him? I think he would. I think he would do
a complete turn for him, sure.
Yes, he would do a complete turn.
He would find a way.
I was thinking, I talked to some people. He's really changed.
Yeah. There's no way he would do that to Bill Belichick. There's no way the Eagles would allow you to do that to Bill Belichick and still be associated with the Eagles.
Because he did ask Gabe Kapler about the coconut oil.
He did. But he's not associated with the Phillies.
The Phillies, right.
So you're talking about Bill Belichick. We're saying hypothetically, there would almost be a, not necessarily a coronation, but somebody coming here to be the head coach, the next head coach that's less than, is it less than 10 wins or just over 10 wins away from becoming the all-time winningest coach in NFL history,
right?
As well as already has 6 Super Bowl titles. You're not about to be mocking and disrespecting Bill Belichick at a press conference.
By the way,
that's not happening.
I'm as annoyed about the cheating as I was going to say as anyone else.
We all are, yeah.
But
I was a victim of it.
I'd rather have the cheater working for us.
They're really starting to go after Ike Reese now.
Yeah, it was that play? Yes.
They said, "Hold on, who do we got to exploit in this second half to ensure
that exploit? I got exploited. Wow."
I want the guy who's thinking of ways to
If you ain't cheating, you ain't trying. Come on,
breaking the rules.
Dude, anybody who wouldn't want Bill Belichick is crazy. And giving him a year off, he gets to reflect, and he doesn't have to really build your roster. The one thing you need him for is defensive talent and putting together a scheme. You don't have to worry about the offense.
Just keep killing more. Who cares?
Right. Just keep killing more.
Well,
yes.
and a part of this offseason circuit for Belichick is he put out his little minion, mm-hmm. Julian Edelman.
Mm-hmm.
He was on Coward after the season. He said he's got great respect for Howie Roseman. He thinks they would get along very well.
That's what
well.
I'm saying, man. There's too much mentioning of this for at least not to have some validity to it, man.
How about this?
He certainly got his eyes on this team.
Another guy who would have some time off, 47-year-old Tom Brady. Comes back.
Oh, God. No, I don't need Brady. I don't need.
If he's not going to be a Dolphin this year, I don't think he's going to be an Eagle next year.
Yeah. I don't need Brady. But Belichick.
I was just trying for the Super Bowl, Super Bowl of Talk Radio.
Yeah, you was going for
Belichick,
the whole ball
Brady,
of wax.
Yeah,
yes.
Give me everybody. Juan Soto this offseason. All that. Michael Jordan comes back. Whatever.
But you can tell, and this is where the Giants' job sort of falls out of the picture for him.
It's talent. Yeah.
He doesn't want to do a rebuild. That's what he was trying to do in New England. If he can get with a ready-made roster like the Eagles or the Cowboys that already have quarterbacks, like they locked up Dak, that's attractive for the next head coach that comes in.
I would wonder if he would – the Giants, obviously, if he would go to the Jets. Because that is a team who has talent.
Yeah.
But doesn't he still hate the Jets?
I would assume, but he's not going to hate a team that's going to give him $20 million a year or whatever they're going to pay him, you know? They have a roster,
It'll be interesting.
Yes.
He's going to get another job.
Yes.
Of course he is.
Yeah.
He's on TV cracking jokes and everything.
Well,
now.
Because now everyone's going to forget about why they didn't want him.
Yes. Yeah. He's going to be likable by the time this season is over with.
Terrence in Springfield, you're on WIP.
Spike, Fritz, what's up, man?
Yeah, all three of us. I love it.
What up, Terrence?
Hey, man, I'm doing good, man. I want to say, I don't blame Sirianni. He has had success in the previous years, but the ending of last season and the start of this season, my only thing with Sirianni is his decision-making at times. He can't get emotional during the game and make emotional decisions. He's to blame, but the players are to blame. Howie Roseman is to blame. He brought in people like Jordan Davis, who every time they go to him on the TV, he's huffing air like he can't breathe. He's the only player sucking him oxygen, and I don't know what it is with this guy. It, Sirianni, like Spike, didn't he, on the first drive, did he not take the field goal, or did he go for it?
Well, he went for
he
it.
He went for it on the first drive.
I acknowledge the two things that
you could take the point.
But no, I disagree with you. But
it's going to hurt you in the end.
Well, it changes the entire game, though. We could get to that point in a second. I acknowledge that the two things that happened during that game that you could question that Sirianni did was go for it on fourth there and then not go for it on fourth at the end. That's fine. Mm-hmm. And by the way, if those plays go the other way, we're all talking about how he has big balls and yada, yada, yada. Yeah. And everybody's fine about it. But if you want to debate that, that's fine. My point is that the criticism he has received for those things is outsized, thinking about all of the other failures that were on the field that day. And as far as going for it on fourth down in the first quarter, here is the counter I would tell you. The week before, Friday night, Green Bay, up 6-0 after the two Philadelphia turnovers and two scoring drives. That game, the Eagles lose that game if either of those is a touchdown. If we are down 10-0, that's a completely different thing being down two scores and being down one score. And if we're down 14-0, game's definitely over. I understand why he went for it fourth and four. The worst case scenario is the other team has the ball in their own half of the field, and you're still not... You're not in a bad situation. The difference between going up 7-0 and 3-0 is substantial. I have no problem with it. And yes, if they put the three on the, I'm also not going to say if they put three on the board there, they definitely win the game. I don't know that, because it changes the entire game afterwards. You can't just add the three to the total that the Eagles had.
Changes momentum. Well, the only thing I would say is the Falcons kind of baited him into throwing the ball. You got Saquon Barkley. He's getting like 5 yards a pop that game. You got two downs to run the ball with a minute 32 on the clock. You got to run the ball on third down.
That is Kellen Moore's choice. It's Kellen Moore's choice. And you're telling me that what the Falcons did purposely was give Saquon Barkley a wide open right side of the field where he could catch a perfectly thrown ball that he dropped. They were game theory.
Yeah, they knew he was going to drop that. Yeah.
Come on, man. They didn't bait him. They didn't bait him into it. They didn't want.
Would you rather use the clock? He declined the penalty and went back to third down instead of getting a whole new set of downs.
No. They called a timeout there.
When they came offside, he declined it.
No, they didn't call offside.
They didn't call offsides. They called the timeout.
Yeah, he jumped, but they didn't call it.
You're thinking of a different time when he declined a penalty. It was not – that might even be the Green Bay game. I can't remember.
Yeah, it wasn't that play.
But it was not that play. There was a moment where – I forget if it was Judon or not – jumped in – looked like he may have jumped into the neutral zone.
Yeah, I think it was Judon,
But they did not call a penalty there.
Yeah.
Called the timeout.
I'm going to say that it's still early in the season. I'm not going to get on Sirianni as much yet. To me, it's an all thing. It's Howie, it's a Sirianni, and it's this defense. And we can't get any pass rush. It's going to be a long season. I'm all in on the trade deadline. We have to bring in a pass runner because Huff is like he's in La La Land. He don't know what he's doing. I don't know if he's undersized or what. He got to get some new pass rush moves, but they're not getting any rush. Sweat not getting anything. Jordan Davis and Carter. Like, I don't know what these guys are doing. Like, we should have addressed that. And it's not just on Nick. I agree with you on that. This is on Howie also.
Yeah, I agree.
And that's what I'm pretty much on that.
Hey, Terrence, it's James Gandolfini's birthday. I had never seen The Sopranos. For next question today, give us something very popular that you haven't seen or heard.
I'm 39 years old, and I never have seen The Shining.
Oh, you got to see The Shining. Oh,
Shining, Jack Nicholson.
Nicholson.
Close enough.
Yeah, thank you, Terrence.
Well, Jack Nicholson is the golfer.
Correct.
That was wrong with me.
The Shining is one of Never a doubt. One of two or three movies, and I watch a lot of horror. It's probably the genre I watch more than anything else.
Yeah.
The Shining terrifies me.
Yeah.
I have trouble watching it alone. I have
not
to turn it off.
Not since I was a kid.
Oh, it's so scary.
I have not
scary.
Watched it since the 80s.
Have you seen it, Jack?
Yeah, I watched it and went through a little horror movie phase in college. So okay. I watched it then.
It's terrifying.
It's a scary one. For
yeah.
Sure.
It's terrifying.
To add another, this is new. This just came out.
Belichick thing.
Belichick to Philadelphia, add fuel to that. He's in a new commercial with Tyrese Maxey.
Is he aiming for the bye week? He's putting the pressure on
he's
now.
He's in a commercial with Tyrese Maxey?
On Underdog Fantasy or something. And I guess Maxey's an endorser of it, but they're looking for fantasy football advice.
You couldn't get Bill Belichick for 20 years in a commercial.
He's everywhere.
Guy's been fired 1 year, six. Yeah, he's everywhere now.
Maxey.
Yeah, he's the media darling.
Bryce Harper's wearing Bill Belichick socks tonight.
Sent by Belichick. Yeah. Who is on TV screens more right now, Kelsey or Belichick?
Oh, I
still nobody's
Kelsey.
On TV more than Kelsey. Yeah. Come on, man.
Holy moly. Talk about capitalizing on the moment. God bless
him. Yeah, you kidding me?
All these guys are.
Kelsey is the man.
Coming up next, last week, we had our Odyssey insider, Brian Baldinger, on the show. There was a tense moment as Ike and Baldy debated whether Jalen Hurts should have thrown the two passes. Baldy joins us next. Will there be fireworks?
I'm going to just tell you, I laugh at this. Baldy doesn't.
We love the back and forth.
Yeah, I know, but I'm on this side of things. I'm just saying, his sense of humor is not the same as ours.
Okay. That is next. Today's show, sponsored by Guided Door and Window.
Keep everybody in peace, that's all.
I love Baldy.
Yes, love him.
Dude, we wouldn't fight with somebody we didn't love.
But if he says they should have run, they should have gone for it, fourth down,
I might
explode.
He'd be right.
Viador.
How about a little toss crack to the outside of Saquon?
Toss crack.
Today's show is sponsored by Guided Door and Window. Buy a window or a door. You know what I'm talking about, right?
Yeah.
Buy a window or door. Get the second and a half off with 18 months interest-free financing. Call Guided Door and Window at 877-GO-GUIDA or visit goguida.com. This is the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz.